On today's episode, calling the cops on your friends, do you take this woman to be your pen pal? And Miss Fingerly sticks her toes in your crotch. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Tell me all about it, Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking about God is my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my God is my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
Kitty cats, my name is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo! With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I am doing okay.
Yeah?
I am feeling a little refreshed.
A little refreshed.
Because I went camping.
Nice.
We told everybody that I was going camping.
Yeah, you actually made it through a vacation.
I did, finally. I did not need my passport. I still haven't gotten a new passport.
Oh, no.
That the one that the dog ate. So I need to get on that. But
camping went well?
Camping went well. It nice. Was, you know, dirty and filthy and perfect. And I set my tent up all by myself, but it's a really big tent. So
wow.
Since I've learned that I can do that, I feel like super accomplished.
Nice.
But I think I might take a redemption camping trip because I did have to leave camp on Saturday and Sunday to go do, I had some obligations. And camping is pretty close. You know where Malibu is.
Yeah.
So it's like an hour away.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, get in my car. It's easy camping, guys. Lest you think, dear listeners, that I'm like fucking backpacking it with some hiking boots and a bedroll. It's, you know, pretty easy camping.
Yeah.
We do tents. It's dirty. We do this. The beach is there. But there is a Starbucks like 11 minutes away.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, you know, I do, if I need to do something, I was like, that's the thing. It's like, if my dad falls down.
Yeah.
I can easily check on that and run home.
But that, it just seems such a weird concept to me that the fact of like, you're out camping, but then you're running errands? Like,
yeah.
That doesn't seem to click in my brain.
Not,
once you're camping,
really,
you're camping.
It's not really errands. Like, it's happened the last few years I've gone camping. Huh. 2 years in a row, I left, because I'll camp like Thursday through Monday morning.
Right.
And 2 years in a row, I had a wedding to perform on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I, you know, get dressed up.
Right. And you're not the only person camping. So you have to like deal with, you know, schedules. Like
you don't get
to pick like, oh, I'm just going to randomly pick this time. You have to deal with other people's schedules.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
And we went as a small group.
Yeah.
Usually it's a bigger group, but thanks to COVID and all of those who seem to love it and not want to just fucking get through it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much smaller group.
Yeah.
So that didn't really impact them. It just meant that I went to go do these two weddings. It's like, I miss, well, for one of them and for this weekend, I miss just like the heart of the sitting around, relaxing, doing nothing.
Right.
And I wouldn't change any of these things that I went to.
Okay.
But, you know, that's why I'm like, I need a redemption one.
Oh.
But one of those weddings was like during the day. Now, the funny part is like, I'm filthy and gross. And
right.
All of a sudden I'm like, have to bring like a dress.
Right.
And like wash my feet.
Oh my God.
And like get dressed up nice enough and go do the wedding.
Yeah.
And then come back and be like, I'm taking this off. But
wow.
One of the weddings was at night. And the thing was, it
okay.
was just an evening wedding. It wasn't like a midnight wedding.
Okay, I was going to say.
But it was like, it was actually on a beach, but further away.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, I don't know, like a 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock
okay.
wedding.
Okay.
But then we went to dinner afterwards.
Gotcha.
And it was super slow service then.
Oh.
So the campground was very exciting. Ticking clock. The campground closes. You can't get in.
Oh no.
After 10.
Oh no.
You can get out anytime you want, but they close the ranger station and the gate at 10.
Yeah.
So then I am like, whoosh, like down the PCH, which is really dark.
Yeah.
Especially the stretch that I was coming from. So it was
Isn't
like
that the place where what's his name died? Actor from the 50s?
Jimmy Dean. No, I think that has something to do with the Griffith Observatory, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, maybe it does.
If you know when James Dean died.
I also like that we're calling him Jimmy Dean.
I know. I just was like
he's the sausage king.
I know.
King.
He's the sausage king of Chicago. We're just mixing like 100 different things together. So my camping was great. I did miss out. If I had only had to do one of the things, it would have been good. But I had to leave camp on Saturday and Sunday. Aww. But I still had a great time. I got to spend time with some lovely loves that I love
good.
That I could see them more often, but that's only recently.
Right.
For, 18 months or whatever, right. We were not seeing each other.
And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next
exactly.
18 months because there's so many dummies around
exactly.
us.
Exactly. But so it was really nice. I am looking forward to going camping again, but I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
Because I put a post on Instagram a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
There was in California this vote to recall our governor.
The governor, yeah.
I'm not going to get into a whole fucking thing, but it pissed my shit off and I was angry.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
You can look it up and see why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why I would personally think that, which falls into this story.
Okay.
So I always post like a picture of me with my I voted sticker, like
right.
on Instagram or whatever, because it's a thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not, I'm not a role model. If y'all are looking at me as a role model, then you need to go to a better advice podcast because I should be at best a cautionary tale. But
you yeah. do due to your civil duty.
Yes. So I'm all about that. But I was so just angry and kind of disgusted that
yeah.
the picture I put on Instagram and Facebook was just me just angry.
Yeah.
Like I had an angry face with Ooh. My I voted sticker. And I said in it, I said, I'm a fairly peaceful atheist, but I swear to God, California, if you fuck this up, I will end you.
Oh no.
And now I know what it is because I don't really put anything controversial really ever.
Sure.
And I didn't think that was too controversial, but I got a lot of like angry responses.
Really?
Yeah. And that was a real drag and that's fine.
Mm.
But it just made me a little angry. And I put like hashtag vote no, hashtag get vaccinated, hashtag, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dirty hippie liberal hashtags.
Yeah.
But then somebody reported it and it got taken down for being violent and harmful.
Reported it for what?
I don't know.
For saying I'm going to get you California?
No, for, I mean, the thing that would have been was, you know, if you fuck this up, I will end you. Which
California.
Everyone else. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's whatever.
You were threatening a state.
I was threatening, you know what? I'm threatening the people that had a problem with it
yeah.
because they need to fucking get their shit together. And that's fine. And they can do what they want and they can unfollow me and they can whatever. But so that got taken down.
Oh, God.
I put it back up.
Okay, good.
And I said, it said, I'm a fairly peaceful atheist, but I swear to God, California, if you mess this up, I will throw you out of the library.
Okay, there
so
you go.
I'm like,
in
try
character.
Taking this town, you
yeah.
this town, you pieces of shit.
Seriously.
So, and the same picture, same whatever.
Okay, good, good.
But I did the hashtags and I put hashtag MAGA.
Because
I'm like, let's poke whatever.
Yeah.
And first of all, everyone listening should know I'm no trendsetter. I'm not famous in a way. Like, you know, I'm not. I'm your friend, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm popular and I'm important because of the iconic, you know, thing of all that and stuff and growing up with me.
Right.
But it's not like it's not like I'm putting up my opinion as though it's like, this is my opinion.
Well,
you know?
No, I feel like you, but even before all that, when you were just you, you were the kind of person that didn't hide your truth.
Yeah, no,
and
definitely
if
not.
If you felt something was wrong, you would speak your mind.
No, absolutely.
And that's what I loved about you. That was
yeah.
that was a part of what makes you great.
So that's just kind of what I do on Instagram, but I am more careful about, you know, not putting up crazy shit.
So wait, did you hear, did anything happen from the hashtag MAGA?
Well, this is the thing, because I was really bummed out that day, just like the people, you know, with their nasty comments back and all that kind of stuff. And I put it back up and I wasn't going to look at, I happened to look at the comments, but then I didn't. And this was like the jewel of my day. It made me laugh so hard.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say they're hashtaggy names. Okay. No, not hashtaggy names.
They're Instagram name.
Do.ain said, OMG, is the hashtag MAGA part a joke? And then Berlin Information 1980 replied and said, yeah, she's very liberal. She's not the best at social media, LOL.
Oh, no.
Which was like the sweetest. No, it was like,
somebody was trying to just like watch out for you.
Yeah, he was like, no, she's cool. Grandma just doesn't understand it. I'm like, here's someone, you know, Berlin Information 1980, who I think clearly listens to the podcast.
Sure. So
if you're out there, Bunny Kitten, thank you.
Yeah.
Because this is the only place I talk about, you know, even anything slightly political.
Or, yeah.
And so it's like he was watching that and he was like, no, don't worry. She's liberal. Just grandma doesn't understand hashtags. Like, I feel like it was so sweet.
Yeah.
And like he had my, he or she.
Right.
Had my back. And it just really made me laugh. And I did reply.
Funny.
I don't reply very often, but I said something like, ha, you're not wrong about the social media. But it wasn't a mistake, more like a poke.
Yeah.
And again, to say it was a poke, that's why I started saying, like, I'm no major celebrity that's, like, trying to start a beef with anybody.
Right.
But I was like, whatever. I was just so pissed off. Oh. And this is after, you know, when it got to me, when I was putting on my mask, it didn't occur to me. Because whenever it's, like, voting time, I'm like, I'm going to vote. I'm going to do my thing. And I'm going to democratize. And as I was getting out of my car, putting on my mask to go in and vote, I just got really angry.
I mean,
because it's like people, the first I heard of this was like, he's doing a bad job as governor. He needs to open everything up. And it's like, those are the people that are making me do this.
Yeah.
He did not get recalled. So that was good.
Well, the thing, this is the part that was so frustrating to me. I mean, not frustrating, but like, kind of relieving that it happened this way, that the story gets told this way. But we have this election to recall the governor because, you know, he did such a horrible job with COVID. And then I feel like maybe about 4 or 5 days after we voted not to recall him, it comes out that California is like number one on the list of states that's doing well for COVID. Like every other state in the country is doing so much worse than California. And here he just almost got recalled because people were saying that he was doing such a horrible job. And
there's a lot else behind it that's more sinister, in my opinion, and research. So everyone can look that up. We've been talking about politics for a long time. But all of that was just to get to my fan, admirer, favorite person on Instagram who is like, had my back, was like, no, hold on, let me explain.
That's so funny.
It's like after your grandpa has like a weird fit sundowning at the Sizzler, right. And you go talk to the manager and say, I'm really sorry, he's having trouble, right. And we really appreciate everything you've done. I'm Berlin Information 1980, just like warmed my fucking heart and made me laugh during a day when I was like really angry. So
that's great.
Thank you for that. And if you said nice things also, I appreciate it, but I didn't read any more of the comments. I just happened to like catch that one.
Oh, man.
And it super, super duper made me happy. But anyway, a long way to say that I voted, which you should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not good at social media. And
you're getting better.
I'm getting a little better every day.
Exactly.
And I want to say for anyone who listened yesterday, last week's show.
Yeah.
I have more water with ice from Clark's house. And it is so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the
I
good
love
ice.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm done with my rant slash appreciation. Okay.
Well, let me throw in one more thing before we get into questions.
Yes, please.
You know, we're getting close. It's almost been a full year of us doing this podcast.
I know.
And I was kind of excited because when we first started, it was fall. But we didn't really have the audience. We didn't have people asking us questions. We didn't have that set up yet because we were just starting.
Yeah.
So we didn't get any good, real fall questions.
Yes.
Any like Halloween questions or anything like that. By the time we started getting real good questions, it was closer to Christmas time.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited because I'm hoping everyone out there might be thinking about some excellent fall pumpkin spiced questions.
Pumpkin spice questions, Columbus Day versus Indigenous Peoples
Day.
There
you
go. You know, to start another huge political. I'm at the center of all political upheaval. And meanwhile, I'm like, can I kiss a dog today?
Hey, man, I'm up for you taking over the Bill Maher role. Let's get rid of him. Throw you in there.
I'd take that. I won't smoke as much weed as he does. Wait,
yeah,
that's another thing. I know we've been talking for 92 minutes, but the special thing about the camp out was that
Bill Maher was there.
Yes, he was there. No, it was me and some sober friends.
Okay.
And Thursday to Monday. Monday was my 16th sober birthday.
Yay!
So it was a thank you. So it was really special to be there camping with my sober friends. And then I did post that on social media. You know, I always do like, I'm 16 years sober today.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got like a lot of love for that. And a lot of people, I did read the comments on that one. I felt secure in reading the comments on the happy birthday one and got comments and some people slid into my DMs.
Oh, nice.
To just say like, I didn't know you were sober too. This makes me love you even more.
Wow.
Or I have struggling with the same thing and I have this long sober. So that's like, that was like really, that's just a wonderful thing to strike more of a connection with fans and just people in my community.
See, you're not horrible at social media.
No,
you get it right
part,
every once in a while.
That part was good. Yes. That part was good. So, but it was really special to be, and we were at the campfire Sunday night. And when it turned to Monday, you know, midnight, they sang me happy birthday.
Oh,
and so that was like super smishtacular.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I love that. Well, this has all been really good, but we do have questions here.
Okay.
We have some people that need some help, so I thought maybe we should start getting some help out.
I don't see why not.
All right. Let's start off with Aaron. Okay, so Aaron asks, how do I convince my boyfriend to get a new car? He has the money, but wants to drive his car into the ground. It is already 6 feet under, if you ask me. Missing a door handle, needs a screwdriver to shift gears, the passenger window doesn't work, and the paint is discolored. I need your best bad advice as to how I can get him to get rid of the junker and get something newer. It doesn't need to be flashy, but I'd like to be able to roll down the window. And that's from Aaron.
Aaron. Yes. Hey, girly girl. Yeah. The issue is, yes, we want a guy who has his shit together enough.
Right.
But we also don't want to be like, be better so you're worthy of me. But a shitty car. Here's what's funny. I will say, because I have, as we all know, dear listeners, been sticking my toes into the crotch of internet dating.
Oh,
like dating apps and stuff.
Sticking your toes into the crotch of online dating. That was
a little
fantastic.
Bit.
Anyway,
thank
go ahead,
you.
Please.
It's nice and warm in there.
It is.
When I was camping, my toes got cold. So there's, you know, on this one app that I'm on, there's like a zillion questions. Like, answer, here's your question to this. Here are the answers I'll accept from someone else.
Mm.
And then it's like, you're 82% compatible.
Mm.
And I did sit for hours one day thinking that I would get to the end of the questions.
Right.
And never did. I don't know if there's ever an end.
How similar can you be to somebody?
I know, but
where you're like views on strawberries are exactly the same.
Exactly. No, there's, I mean, every like topic and this and that, and some are big deal, like religion and blah blah blah, and some are like, you know, what would you rather kiss in a tent or kiss in Paris? You know, and so anyway, one of them is, could you date someone who doesn't have a car?
Huh.
And all the men say yes.
Okay.
I said no.
Sure, I understand that.
I mean, you'd think they're all in like Los Angeles because we're together. But like, I live in Los Angeles. My answer is no. I can't date a guy without a car.
Yeah.
And all the dudes are like, yes. And because like, oh, they'll drive me around.
Right.
But I don't want to like, you know, sit in some gross car. I would like to be able to open the window.
Yeah.
And is the car, Aaron, a reflection of other stuff going on in your boyfriend's life? And I don't mean like emotionally.
Right.
I mean, it would be weird if he was on a career path and had his shit together and just drove like a 1971 Ford Fiesta that didn't even exist then.
Right, exactly.
You know, he's
somebody
like,
just glued the Fiesta to another Ford car.
He's got like a little kid tricycle on three skateboards and he's like, we're going to the movies.
It's like two steps short of that car that little toddlers have.
Yes, exactly.
They close the door.
I got the door closed. So if there's this car question, but is it a bigger issue for you where it's like, I want to be with a man who has career goals, or I want to be with a man who, you know, is more established in the community or in whatever. And is the car a reflection of that? Because it'd be weird if you were like, I'm a lawyer and here's my car.
Yeah, this seriously.
Not that you have to be a lawyer to be like a member of society.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I have a Prius and it's filthy.
But there's also a huge difference between your filthy Prius and a car held together with scotch tape.
Yeah, I would say if there is a garbage bag window for more than 2 weeks, that's going to be a deal breaker to me. Yes. That's a window breaker to me.
A window breaker.
But, you know, in the answer, Aaron, is like, you can say it bothers you and you can push it, but then you can run the risk of being like, I want a man with a better car.
Yeah.
And that's not very attractive. But if it's all part of the whole package and this car is indicative of other stuff that you're, you know, like, oh, this isn't really, you know.
Right, right.
I'm one to tell you, you don't always wait around for things to turn into what you want. Because then you end up doing a podcast here alone. Clark doesn't count. But mention it. You could say, I just really need to be able to roll down the window, or what's the deal, or how can I help you find something? All that kind of stuff. Well, but you do run that risk of being the like, I want a guy who drives a Trans Am.
Yeah.
In which case you'd be so gross.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sorry, well, Trans Am owners.
Well, this is also my point on this. I have a car.
Yes.
My wife has a car.
She does.
It kind of doesn't matter what car my wife has because we always drive my car.
Yes.
I have the bigger car. You know, we have a kid and sometimes my parents come, or if you're coming, we want more space and I have the bigger car. So every time that I'm in the car, it's 99.9% my car.
Correct.
So, Aaron, if you have a decent car, maybe you should always just go out with your boyfriend in your car.
Yes.
Maybe you could just, even if you're handing him the keys, hey, you want to drive my car?
Yep.
And you're driving to the restaurant or to the movies or wherever you're going. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe you let him have his car, but you just say, can we just drive my car normally? Because your car, I can't even open a window and I need a little air.
I need a little air. Because there's also about 7 years of Del Taco wrappers in the fucking back seat. I'm starting to rethink this relationship. You weird guy. So, he's like, well, I worked there.
That's not a good excuse.
Del Taco is awesome, actually.
It is.
And they don't have it everywhere, so be grateful if you have a Del Taco.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes. The point is, yeah, Aaron, if you need a guy who has his shit together, and if this car is really a fucking wreck and indicative of a guy just being like, whatever, man, college is cool, but he's like 42, that's something to look at.
Yeah.
But encourage him, say, you know, this kind of bothers me. And then he's an adult and it's his choice and it's his money.
Yeah. And tell him, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you're not looking for a Lexus. You just need
a window.
Functioning window.
Yes.
That's all you need.
So. He just gets her for their anniversary a detached door.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps, Aaron. Let's move on to our next question of the day. And the next question is from a gentleman named Dan.
Dan.
And Dan says, my fiance lives in another country. When we're apart, we spend hours on Skype chatting. But during our face-to-face visits, we tend to fight. I want to bring her to the U.S., but I don't know if we will just fight or have the great relationship we have virtually. If we divorced, I would be responsible for her financially for 10 years. Can you give me some bad advice?
Who is this?
This is Dan.
Dan, you are a walking red flag. Jesus, Dan.
Yeah.
It is not great. This whole thing is not great.
There are so many warning signs.
Is this like a 90 Day Fiancé situation?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I have to say my best friend loves 90 Day Fiancé. I can't handle it. It makes me sick.
Those are really hard to get through.
Well, it makes me sick. It makes me sad. What makes me sick is the production company and the people making the show.
Yeah, that's
the part.
Gross.
That's just disgusting to me.
Yeah.
And people love it, and they love it because my friend loves it because it's a train wreck.
Sure, of course.
But so it is a problem to be so happy and have a great time when you're talking on Zoom and fight when you're together.
Yeah.
Because that's not a relationship, that's not an engagement, that's a pen pal.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And if that truly is the nature of the relationship, that when we're thousands of miles apart and only have to see each other and interact for 3 hours a day, we get along great.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole goal would be to be together with someone.
Yeah.
Together physically, together in a room.
Yeah.
And if that always results in a fight. But he doesn't say what the fights are about. Like, right. The fights could be about, like, I want to get married to be with you.
Right.
And she's from Europe somewhere.
Right, of course.
I want to come over. I want to be for 90 days. Your fiancé.
Right.
You know, and he's like, I don't know. But it's another thing if you just get together and don't get along.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes it. I was so weirded out by this question because I was like, if you're getting into fights every single time you meet somebody face to face, I don't think that's the right person to be dating.
Unless they're like, I love you more.
Right.
He's like, no, I love you more. You motherfucker. I love you so much more.
Yeah, it's like that weird kind of love-hate Adams Family feel, right?
And is it like part of the fun is the sexual tension and the will? You know, it's like Sam and Diane.
Right.
Which is, again, okay, if you're under 90 years old, go look up Cheers. Fabulous TV show from the 80s.
Yes.
And it was on like 10, 11 seasons. Yeah, really long, great.
Really good show.
Starring your favorite, Rhea Perlman, who's awesome.
Some
but
of
anyway.
The best cold openings in the business.
Really? Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah.
But the whole concept of, you know, the two leading characters, will they, won't they, the sexual tension. And if that's what's kind of getting you off, if that's what's making your relationship so good, what usually happens in a TV show is will they, won't they, then they do, and then the show sucks.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
If you don't want the show to suck and you really just have this tension and longing and romance of the long distance relationship.
Right.
You know, it's not you contemplating the financial repercussions of bringing her over here to marry you and then it not working out. Not that you shouldn't consider everything.
Of course.
But I have a great relationship with my girlfriend, except when we're together. You know, if I bring her over, I might have to pay for her for 10 years. What should I do? Asked Stan.
That was pretty good.
I might really take a look at what your fights are about.
Yeah.
The nature of them.
Yeah.
What you're really getting. What is the spark that keeps you going in the long distance format?
Yeah. And let me just throw out there really quick. Sex is not going to make up for a whole fuck a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it'll make up for a little bit, but it's not going to be worth that much.
No, and to get political again, that's just a fucking anchor baby. I shall come and expel my egg and sperm into an anchor baby.
I love this imaginary European girl that you've made.
She's trying to be French. But I'm doing the best I can. People commented.
Thank God she's not Southern.
A few. I was gonna say a few people have commented on my impeccable. Not even inadvertent. Like I can't control it. Yeah. My Southern accent that we got.
I don't want you to even try it now
because it'll
put you in that brain.
But I've heard it was funny and then adorable. So my apologies to anybody whose ears were bleeding, but I literally could not help it. Yeah. But you're right. We should move on.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps, Dan.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right?
Maybe we need to give some advice to the fiance too.
Yeah, right.
If you're out there, random European woman, please give us a call. Next question is from a gentleman named Greg. And Greg says, what's the quickest way to get rid of guests after dinner? That's
excellent.
It. That's his whole question.
Well, during COVID time, it should just be like a lot of coughing.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
Ooh, I hope you like dinner. I couldn't really smell or taste it. Would you like to stay longer?
Or do some tongue kissing?
Exactly. No, this is actually... Exactly. This is an interesting question. I just had, you know, I've spoken about my friend who lost her husband.
Yeah.
And We just had a big memorial for him. Mm. He's already, you know, funeraled and sure, buried and such.
Sure.
But it was this, not a memorial, a celebration of life.
Okay.
The get together, a lot of people that couldn't or didn't come because of COVID at the time.
How sweet.
Or couldn't come visit during, well, he was in the hospital because it was like super COVID.
Yeah.
But so this was a celebration of life at her house. And so we were talking about it and helping plan it. And it, she was like, I want it to be like a brunch thing. I was like, yeah, that's perfect. Come eat, make some remarks. She wanted to have like a little ceremony in the middle. It wasn't like a ceremony, but it was like five or six people got up to speak and it was really touching.
Oh, that's great.
So it's kind of like, yeah, come and eat. We have all this great food, kind of brunchy, kind of breakfasty. We're going to hear some remarks. Let's mill about, watch the video of the pictures, and then get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's having a program.
No, yeah.
Having some activities. Schedule.
Yeah.
And not that people didn't linger and people stayed and helped clean up and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I kind of like that. To have, like, we are going to, and I said, I mean, I haven't said this in a while, but early on in the podcast I did, I would rather throw a party than go to a party.
Mm.
And amorphous parties with no activity make me really anxious.
Interesting.
So I would be like, okay, yeah, dinner's here. We'll show up. We'll hang out. We'll have appetizers. We'll talk, which already I feel very anxious about because there's no, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's dinner, and that's really great. And then after dinner, we're going to play Heads Up.
Right.
We're going to play a game. We are going to watch a specific movie, whatever it is, so that there's a natural conclusion to things.
That makes so much sense.
And also, I'm not going to throw... Nor am I gonna usually be at like a dinner party where everyone's getting like super drunk on wine. Right. We each had a bottle.
Right.
You know, so I know that that could be a different situation for different people.
Yeah.
But I really like, you know, a schedule. I like an activity. Mm-hmm. I like a natural, you know, conclusion to things. I just hit my chin on the microphone. Do you hear this, people?
It's probably horrible.
I know, right?
There's also, I feel like on top of that, the only other last resort that I could see working that I've used personally is plans the next day.
Yes.
If you have plans the next day and you, as soon as people get there, go, yay, I'm so glad you're here. I've got to get up to work, go to work early tomorrow,
yes,
but I really wanted to see you. So then you're kind of setting up that there's going to be an end time because I got to get to bed.
Or this is the best advice.
Yeah.
Call the cops as your neighbor and make a file a noise complaint.
I love that.
Say,
that's great.
There is underage drinking going on. There are prostitutes.
So dox yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
There are prostitutes going in and out. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that they're prostitutes. You respond when the police station says, how do you know they're prostitutes?
Right.
Well, I'm not. They just look.
Prostituting.
I've watched a lot of Law and Order and I see it. So yeah, you could put in that fake call.
Yeah, that was nice.
But yeah, activities, man. Plans. If you invite me to your house, just please have something planned.
Yeah.
We might not even have to do it.
Yeah.
But it just makes me so, I'm anxious now.
That's
thinking
so
about a party where there's like not a thing to
do. Yeah. Wow. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah.
That's very cool. All right. Well, hopefully that helps. And now you can get rid of all the guests you want.
Yes.
Okay. Well, before we go on to any more questions, I think it's time for our rotating segment of the week. And I'm really excited because this week is a brand new segment. And it's going to be something that I think all of your fans are really going to love. And we are calling it Character Assassination.
That's my time, everybody. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That's been great. Thank you.
Assassination. All right, so this is the very first character assassination, and character assassination, let me set it up a little bit here, are gonna be segments where LB talks about characters, very famous characters that she's played in the past that, you know, get a little dive into them and a little expertise on yes. individual characters. So what is today's character assassination?
Today's character assassination is a deep dive
okay.
into Miss Fingerly.
Oh.
Miss Fingerly, the teacher from All That. The teacher
from All That.
Yes.
Who, let's be honest, was in a lot of All That, way more than just classroom sketches.
Yeah, well, she turned into that. Like most characters on All That, they hang around and then they go crazy.
Yeah.
Miss Fingerly was, I did her, I think, in the pilot.
Okay.
Wow. She probably was the most present character. I think if you really tallied it up, she might have been in the most sketches overall.
Okay. Now, before we go too far, let's just play a quick little clip so that people can hear.
Yes.
Miss Fingerly and how she talks.
Okay. Yes. Let's go.
Can be used as a superlative, the subjunctive, or the laxative. For example, I nibble, you nibble, Stephanie nibbles, we nibble, they nibble. Now you try.
So yeah, so that's a quick little
Miss
example.
Miss Fingerly.
Yeah.
So I was the oldest in the cast.
Right.
The youngest of when we started, Katrina was 10, I was 18.
Wow.
And so I played the teachers and I played the mothers.
Yeah.
And originally, like, it was just a regular school marm. And of course, I put my funny little spin on it, hopefully. But then she just got weirder and weirder and made all of these puns. Like, sorry, I'm late. My dog ran away. I've had a rough morning. Oh, and speaking of rough.
Yeah.
Way before Family Guy did it.
Yeah.
Miss Fingerly would put the H sound into words where it didn't belong.
Right.
We just heard it there. She said, we nibble.
Yeah.
And so that just became a thing where I would find a way to put H's in. The one that caught people's attention really and they loved was there's a character named Robert in one of the Skechers.
Okay.
Skechers.
Sketches. One of the Skechers.
And I said, Robert. And they were like, that doesn't belong there.
H in front of R.
Yeah. Robert. My friend Brenda would always be like, how do you do that? It's like trying to teach someone to whistle.
Right.
She's exactly. like, so she always really loved that.
That's so funny.
So Miss Fingerly eventually got weirder and crazier
yeah.
and eventually got out of the classroom, but like lots of puns.
Was the hair and makeup always the same? Because you had a special hair and makeup.
Yes. The dress
yeah.
was originally
yours, right?
My personal dress.
Yes. I feel like you used to wear this at high school.
It was longer. I did buy it for a high school event.
Yes.
It was longer. And then they washed it in a washing machine because it got filthy. I'm sure Miss Fingerly was dumped, you know,
sure.
whatever was dumped on her head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they washed it. It got a lot shorter.
Okay.
And then that dress just went through hell for a few years until season 3 or something, maybe. The probably around 3, the wardrobe department just made another copy of it that was similar, you know.
Okay.
So eventually I did get another dress. And the wig, it's funny you mentioned the wig because I got really good at helping put that wig on.
Really?
Like, I could tell you all the steps. Because the very front of it is my hair.
Okay.
They take a little bit of my front and then, like, put it up over the wig.
Gotcha. So it looks natural.
Yeah, so it looks, like, very natural.
Oh, nice.
But so she was just this school marm. And when people ask me, which they do often, you know, what was your favorite character to play?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Part of it, it's a hard choice. Part of it is like, well, the Loud Librarian, which I'm sure we'll do a deep dive into as well.
I'm sure.
But
stay tuned.
Yes. But the Loud Librarian is a really hard sketch to do.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It is physically. Yeah, it is physically really taxing.
Yeah,
and that doesn't even include the yelling. Because just the props, just the hitting things, and
right.
the physicality.
Pulling out a tuba
exactly.
and now walking around with a tuba.
So that, it's really, really taxing. And it's really angry. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched a lot of my brand sketches, and I'm like, she's awful.
Well, I came with you the first day that the All That
yes.
new show with the
yes.
new cast came in. And you were rehearsing your first day with a Loud Librarian.
Yeah.
And you weren't doing the voice. You were kind of just like, talking up here. So you were saving your voice.
Yes.
But the physicality of all the shit that you had to like uncover, pull this giant, you know, a sheet off of a machine, and then you're pulling this thing down. The physicality of it.
It's constant prop work and swift prop work and hard prop work.
Yeah.
I don't just pull up a phone. I pull it up and slam it down.
Slam it, yeah.
You know, whatever it is, and it's really taxing. So, but it's also very cathartic. We should save
but
this
that,
for
yeah,
the,
that's for
we'll
loud
save
librarian.
This for the
that's
loud
for
librarian character
Fingerly.
Assassination. Fingerly,
didn't
I usually say, no, that's why I say that she is my favorite character. Because it was really just nutso crazy, you know, crazy, inappropriate role model adult stuff.
It feels like at a certain point she went from being a little angry or mean to a little way more sweeter and
yes.
open to almost anything.
Yeah, right. She was DTF. By the end, Miss Fingerly was DT motherfucking F.
I wonder how many different characters Keenan dressed up as that you, as Miss Fingerly, were falling in love with.
I know. There was
one. Construction worker.
There was one. I think it's an Okra sketch. Kel played Okra.
Okra, yeah.
And the talk show host.
Right.
And Keenan came on as Lester Oak's construction worker.
Right.
And I was there. And I don't even know if it was like a romance thing or whatever, but we ended up just kind of making out. Like, yeah, Miss Fingerly got a little, she got a little thirsty, as the kids say now.
Yeah.
But
I think that was the sketch we were at.
Oh, I think it was, too.
I think
the
it
one
was.
Where you were
in the audience with Logan and Sellers.
I do believe that is true.
And Stephen Kaplan
and Stephen
was
yes.
in the show.
Our good friend Stephen Kaplan from high school. So because Miss Fingerly got so crazy and she was such a beloved character to the cast and crew, even, you know, it's Miss Fingerly. She's always been there.
Yeah.
She's like the most recurring character, that it was really fun when she started to get to go other places than the classroom.
Yeah.
And one thing about Miss Fingerly, and you know about this, is I was in the classroom. We had the chalkboard. Had the pull down map of the world.
Yes.
And at some point, 20 years later, I think it's when I was on the Steve Harvey Show and I'm decorating my apartment.
Yeah.
And I go, I miss my map. And I had this really long, you know, set of just windows in my apartment.
Yep.
And I go, I want to get a pull down map of the world to be like my shade.
Sure.
And so I did. I went to a school supply place that, like, you know, sells used stuff.
Yep.
And I had a friend come and just like
install it. Yep.
And I had this map of the world as my shade, which I was really cool. Plus that blue of like the ocean on maps is my favorite color.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like a color that I liked too.
Yeah.
But that was definitely absolutely a nod to Miss Fingerly.
Well, and then where did that go?
Then, when I moved, I believe it went to Mr. Clark Crozer.
That's right. It became my map, and I did the same damn thing. I thought that was such a fucking cool idea.
Yeah.
And I used it as a window shade.
Where is it now? In the dumpster?
No, it's in the garage. I still have it. Yeah.
It was
totally
a little ripped. We should bring
it.
We should have a contest.
Hey, there we go.
We're going to be starting a Patreon.
That's true.
We don't have information yet because it's not quite done. But if you donate $1,000,
we'll put you in the pool to
get my old Miss Fingerly map.
Miss Fingerly map. You can sign it.
Oh, I will sign it.
You know, maybe put a picture there or something.
I'll circle all the countries that don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
and I'll make horrible Miss Fingerly jokes all over it.
I guarantee you that map has the letters USSR on it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, Miss Fingerly with her craziness and with her perkiness.
Yeah.
And with her H's and words where it doesn't belong. Was just very dear to a lot of people's hearts. So that is my deep dive into Miss Fingerly.
Yay, I love that. That was fantastic. Oh, man, how cool. All right, well, we are running out of time here. We need to do one last question.
Yes, sir.
And this is a great one from our friend Bobby. And it's an audio question. Are you ready?
Okay, good.
Yeah, here we go.
Hi, Lori. This is Bobby from Seattle, Washington. Yeah, so basically what I'm calling about is, you know, online dating scene, being that I am 40 years old, African American. You know, I work at a restaurant, and you know, I do chef prep cooking, and it's an amazing thing to do when you're a fan of cooking. And so I don't have so much time to chit chat with tons of people on the outside of the restaurant side. So I tried online dating, and I tried different sites. You can name them, I'll try them. But I was calling to say, like, what is it that a person who's single in this generation, who's, like, in their 40s, what's the other solution? Because, like, I'm not much into online dating, but I gave it a shot and have not succeeded in finding a perfect match. And then my profile picture is not bad. I'm just wondering, like, what are options? Do they have, like meet and greets and stuff? I'm just curious. Like, what should a person like me do? But, you know, hopefully you can help. And I'll be available whenever you get this message and like to know more about me. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That was Bobby.
Yes, I want to say that I did hear Bobby's question prior to right now. He left a very long message, but a lot of it was just saying how nice I am.
Yeah,
he was very complimentary of me. And then eventually we thought maybe he was just calling to ask me out. He did say, I'll be available whenever you want to get back to me. So,
it's possible that might not be wrong.
If you donate $100,000 to Patreon,
you get a chance at the map and a chance at the date.
A night with LB.
Hey.
No guarantees. but yeah, so this is officially prostitution.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm the one you'd call the cops on to end your dinner party. So, Bobby, first of all, I do like that you seem to be calling from a sophisticated nightclub.
Yes. Like, or a sophisticated elevator. Yes. One of the two.
There's just kind of a bustle of a crowd and the tinkling of a, you know, sophisticated pianist in the background.
Exactly.
So, it's a funny call. What Bobby's question has that a lot don't is atmosphere.
Does go back, listen to it.
So yeah, but this question funny. I relate to a lot.
Yeah.
We're roughly the same age.
Yeah.
We just talked about when we were talking about the car.
Right.
That I've kind of stuck my toe into online dating.
Yeah.
The crotch of online dating.
The crotch of online dating.
And it's rough. And I don't think that I haven't met up with anybody yet.
Sure. Okay.
I've gotten intros and people that have
not
liked
even like
me.
A coffee date or anything?
No, I haven't met up with anybody.
Has anyone reached out to try?
Yeah, and no, I have. I interested? Have a bunch of intros. Like, sure. You have an intro, or they'll be like, blah blah blah, likes you.
Okay,
so it's not that I haven't had any interest,
right.
And I have shown interest. I have liked some people.
It just
but
hasn't
I
gotten
just
that far.
Haven't. Yeah, Got I just it. Haven't ka-chonked or whatever.
Sure.
And maybe I just need to fucking like rip the Band-Aid off and just do it.
Yeah.
And just be like, what? We'll see.
Right.
It could be the best night of my life. It could be the last night of my life. No, I'm not worried about getting, you know, murdered. But
I mean, you're not going to farmersonly.com, are
not
you?
Yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Because I don't think
I just
you do
want
well
a man who lives in a remote place with a thresher. Those are my must-haves. I want someone I can use my southern accent with.
Oh no, it's starting.
No, we won't start that. Okay. And even though like it is so, I don't know if it's the norm, but like I am sitting here looking at Clark, who met his wife on a dating site.
Yeah.
So and I have married several couples that have met on online dating sites.
Sure, sure.
It is the norm. And yet there's sometimes, I've never gotten this from Clark or Karen, his wife, but there is sometimes that like, oh, I don't want to tell him we met online. Do we have a better story than that?
Yeah.
You know, I thought your pic of your bikini was hot. And I'm like, let's fuck. And you're like, oh, I'd like to talk to you more.
Right.
So there's still that stigma. I mean, it's much less now. And people that met on like, what was that one back in the day? Again, yeah. After you look up Cheers and right. watch a couple episodes. Right. Back in the 80s,
yeah.
You would go and I never did this. I was a child.
Yeah.
But you would make a videotape.
Yes.
You
would go the mall.
At the mall, like Great Expectations.
Yeah.
So there was a couple things like that that were like matchmaking companies.
Sure.
And like I would go in there and sit on the thing and talk about myself and answer some questions.
And now there's like hundreds of hours of video of just rando dudes and girls from the 80s.
Oh God, those
out there that is just like, hi, I'm looking for someone tall and skinny.
I want a girl with a big fat Rolodex. Like all kinds of outdated 80s. Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But also think about the awesome 80s hairdos
yes.
and fucking clothes that because must be on those.
Those people were looking for love. Yes. They were dressed to impress.
Yes. So you would make a video and then you would watch other videos yeah. of whoever, you know, if you're looking for a chickie
and
or whatever.
And I do believe when we say you watch videos, I'm not talking about click, click. No. I'm talking about pull the VHS out of the slipcase, yep. put it into the VHS player.
This is pre-internet, but that was the start of that kind of probably electronic stuff. There's always right. been matchmakers. There's right. arranged marriages still right. in the world, but
matchmaker, make me. Yeah.
I was in Fiddler when I was a kid.
Well, you're Jewish.
I did play the, yeah, exactly. Like it's a prerequisite. It's
culturally appropriate.
Yeah. Every Jewish kid has to be in Fiddler.
I could only be in half.
Yeah, exactly. You're just on the roof.
Exactly.
So, Bobby, it's the world we live in. Yeah. And I've just got to, maybe just like you have to, is really accept that.
Yeah.
You know, because I have that, you know, romantic, I'm going to run into right. somebody and our eyes will meet.
Right.
And I'll drop my files and he'll have me pick them up and touch my hand. You know, whatever. But it's, there's something to that.
Here's the problem with all of this.
What?
You don't see people. Like, you see people, but you see the same people. You don't see new people anytime.
Yeah.
Other than strangers that are walking by you when you're walking around a store or something.
Yeah.
The fact is you need to meet new people if you want to start dating people.
Yeah. And that Bobby did mention like meetups and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if those exist in the world of COVID.
Yeah.
But, you know, think about interests that make you happy. Do you like singing? Do you like painting while drunk? I don't know. Find something that makes you happy that people gather together to do.
Yeah.
And then you can go do something you like to do and maybe meet new people. That yeah. really is, at least in my opinion, the only other way to meet somebody right now.
Yeah. Right now, my dating options are Clark, Lex, and my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Neither of those.
That's exactly neither right. of those.
There's two that are no's and one that is going to be a long wait. And then severely awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and of course, I mean my dad.
Stop calling me auntie.
Yeah. Oh God, I was so about gross. To be like, call me Auntie Lori, but then that just grossed so me gross. Out like a million. So let's move on. Bobby. You're already set up on the apps.
Yeah.
The way for me to continue is to be like, this is legitimate. This is how things work.
Yes.
This is how a lot of people meet
yeah.
and have successful relationships.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
No.
It's nothing to be ashamed about. It's the new normal.
Yep.
So you either fight against it and stay lonely or you bite the bullet. And look, with the online as with everything else, it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
Right? The more people that you'll scroll past, the more people you throw a line out and say, hey, you look interesting. I'd like to meet you. The more opportunities that you might have to meet somebody who's awesome.
Yeah. The more you stick your toes into the crotch of online dating.
Exactly.
The more likely you will stick your toes into the crotch of an actual woman.
Exactly.
With consent, Bobby. With consent. Not every, it's a very normal kink.
Right.
But not everyone is into it.
Well, Well, I'm hoping that that helps, Bobby. I really, you know, there's not a lot left in the world right now with COVID going on.
I know, right?
So you got to pick what you can find, you know? So look, you're doing good. Just keep at it. It's a numbers game. Give it some time. It'll be fine. All right. But that's about it. We're running out of time here ourselves. So we got to go. If you guys out there, if you're listening and you have a question or a decision that's weighing heavily on you, please send it to us and let LB ease your burden. Send us your problems at AskLoriBeth.com. Go follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth. Or just leave a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-DENBERG.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and at the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
Whew.
And you can, this would be fun. Yeah. I know I always pitch every time the cameos because I really like doing them.
No, they're great.
So if you want to send someone an awesome Halloween message.
Yes.
Which could be really spooky.
Which, by the way, you guys, LB is over here at my house doing cameos sometimes. And they're really funny.
You guys really like them.
You get your money's worth.
I do. I give people their money.
You really do.
Because Cameo will send like, hey, blink, like, make someone's day. Spend 30 seconds making someone's day. Make them a cameo.
Right.
And mine are always like 2.5 minutes long. I'm like, how do you do a 30-second cameo? That barely covers me saying hello.
Yeah, seriously.
Because as you might have known, if you've been listening for the last hour, I talk and don't shut up.
You like to stick your toe in the crotch of the cameo.
So my shoes are filthy. Constantly damp.
We knew after you had to wash your foot after going to the camping for so long. There were so many crotches there.
Exactly.
They're all sooty.
I've stuck my foot into the crotch of nature. So you can book me for a cameo for any occasion at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye, little bunnies.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.